Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, sponsored by LuggageForward.com. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to Talking Golf Getaways once again. Glad you're with us. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Darren Bunch out there in California. We're already laughing because in this episode, much as I hate to say it, is about you, Darren, just about you and your trip to Australia. You know, that great epic trip that you took to Australia.
Mitch, it's all about me. And as you know, I took a trip to Australia. I also went to Tasmania and King Island because Australia just wasn't enough. And yeah, we're going to talk about it today. I'm going to offer up some pointers, some things I learned, some things I wish I had done, some places I went that are truly memorable. And we're going to have a fun time talking about it as kind of a kickoff to a few Australia episodes that we're going to do.
Okay, so basically I can ask you the first question and then leave for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And you can do a monologue, don't you think?
Well, that's kind of what I do all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, not so much. But this time, in this case, I think I probably, maybe I'll just do that and see what happens. See how you feel after 25 minutes.
As the intro says, I am the man with all the answers.
Yeah, you are. But usually the man with the answers needs questions.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. That's where I come in. We're glad you found both of us, at least for this particular time.
I'm just happy you found me.
At golf. Oh, man. You know, Al Franken did something that on Saturday Night Live when he was on there. Remember? About me, Al Franken. He used to do this whole this yes. whole thing, and you're reminding me of it now. It's shooting me back to my Saturday Night Live days. It used to make me laugh. It used to make me laugh a lot. With you, not so much.
Our audience is too young to remember Al Franken. They don't even know who Al Franken is.
He happens to be a senator now.
Which is all the more reason why nobody knows who he is.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This turned into Australia going to a wholly different place. So let's move back to Australia.
Hey, let me say this then, too, because what's funny about this is I went to Australia just after Mr. Trump became president. And it's all anybody could talk about in Australia. And I was actually there when he had the big kind of to-do with the prime minister or whatever it is in Australia. And so, yeah, literally everywhere I went to dinner, anyone I talked with, people on the plane who I encountered, everybody just wanted to talk about, is Donald Trump really the way he seems? And as you know, I have a unique perspective because I've actually met him in the past. But it was funny because I spent a lot more time talking politics on my trip to Australia than I ever dreamed I would.
Well, another reason to be grateful. Well, I won't even go there. Can I proceed now? You've already gotten so deep into my stuff.
Please, Mitch, tell us, where can the listeners find us?
Thanks. Well, they found us somehow, either on golfnewsnet.com or on iTunes Podcasts, Audio Boom, or Stitcher. They can also find you, should they care to do that. I'm not sure why they would, but at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me, which I know they want to. Because I am the one who has to deal with you all the time. They can get to me at Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram. And before we get to your particular trip, I want to talk about something. Our great sponsor for these Australia shows and related shows, and it is the great tie-in between taking a golf trip, especially someplace far, far away, the game of golf, and the ease with which you can do it. And I'm talking, of course, about Luggage Forward. I have to tell you that the recent trip that we all took to Bandon was the first time I used Luggage Forward, and I couldn't have been more impressed. I couldn't have been more at ease, and this is the truth, knowing that my clubs and some of my clothing were on their way to Bandon. They were going to be there when I got there. I could take minimal stuff through the airport, and that they would be there when I got there. They were picked up at my doorstep. They were delivered. They were there when I got there, and they'll drop them anywhere you want. Golf course, hotel, resort, buddy's house, you name it. You can ship it all to Darren's house, and they'll deliver it there.
Yeah, they definitely will.
I don't know why you'd want to, but they would do that.
But I'll take it. I'm happy to accept it here. You know what? I the first time I ever used Luggage Forward, and I got to the airport, and it was just so, you know, I was relieved. All that stress kind of gets lifted away. You're lugging around that big golf bag so often, especially as much travel as we do. And I mean, just to be able to go through the airport just with your, you know, your little pull bag, it was perfect. And I can't think of doing it any other way. I've had my golf clubs shipped to Minnesota for a trip I did last summer. I had them shipped to Phoenix for a trip where I went to the Dominican Republic, didn't take my golf clubs with me, had them shipped to Phoenix, and I came back to Phoenix and spent a week in Scottsdale. There's just so many ways you can do it, and it makes so much sense. I can't imagine not traveling using Luggage Forward.
Yeah, it's really great. And price-wise, very comparable. There really is no reason why you wouldn't want to do this. I cannot think of one reason you wouldn't want to do it. And once you do it, you never go back to doing it the other way. Check them out at luggageforward.com. That's the place. You and your back, my back certainly, stress level, everything is going to be glad you did. So we thank Luggage Forward for their help with this podcast. And we're going to talk about, as we said already, Darren taking the trip of a lifetime earlier this year to Australia, Tasmania, King Island. Let's start out with a geography question. Am I wrong in saying that Tasmania and King Island are part of Australia? They're not separate from Australia?
No, Tasmania is part of Australia, and King Island is part of Tasmania. So,
okay, but they are all part of Australia.
They're all part of Australia, correct.
It all right, just, let's you get keep, that straight.
You keep going smaller and smaller. Now, New Zealand, which we will talk about in an upcoming episode with a friend of yours who's been there, New Zealand is not related to Australia other than the fact that they are you know, a few hours flight apart, about 4 hours maybe. Maybe it's less than that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that I knew. I was correcting you more for your separation of Australia, Tasmania, and King Island. But let's talk about where did you go? Tell us about the trip. I know it came up quickly. It's not something you prepared for months and months. It happened fast. You took advantage of it. Tell us about where you went.
Yeah, I got invited by a friend, a new friend, someone who I didn't know at the time and had just reached out to, Greg Ramsey, who was instrumental in creating Barnboogle Dunes on Tasmania. He's also got a new project now that he's working on in Tasmania called RMN that we'll talk about a little bit. It's just on an extraordinary piece of land. Greg's family also owns Ratho Farm, which is up in the Highlands and includes the oldest golf course in all of Australia, where they've been playing golf all the way back to 1822. And so we did kind of the bucket lists of all bucket lists. We hit the high points and did it in just over a week. We played New South Wales, Royal Melbourne, and Kingston Heath for three just, you know, of the best private courses that you can play, certainly in Australia and many say throughout the world. We went to Tasmania. We played Barnboogle and Lost Farm there. We spent a few days at Ratho Farm. And then we flew over to King Island and we played Ocean Dunes, which is this kind of this extraordinarily beautiful piece of land there. And then we went to Cape Wickham, which has just been getting raves and raves and raves. It's a lighthouse property that you just simply can't forget. So it was a great trip. It began with New South Wales. It ended with Royal Melbourne. And boy, I can't tell people enough to go make this type of a trip because there's so much great golf to be had and a lot of golf that I didn't get to either.
All right, we'll get to the courses a little bit more in detail in just a few minutes, but let's go back to the beginning of the trip. What do people need to know if they're heading to Australia? Tell us about flights, hotels, that kind of thing. Just give us the heads up on what people need to know.
Well, yeah, it was a whirlwind trip for me, so there were a lot of things I didn't know, so it was a learning experience on the trip. First of all, if you can fly Virgin Australia, fly Virgin Australia because it is kind of plugged into everything. Also, book through Virgin Australia. I made the mistake of trying to book through a third party, and it was very, very difficult to get access to my reservation, to make changes and to seating assignments and all that kind of thing by going through a third party and saving a few bucks. It wasn't worth the few dollars that you save. If I'm doing it again, I book straight through Virgin Australia. It's the first place I would look. Plus, Virgin Australia flies from Australia to Tasmania into Hobart, which is great. So, you know, you've got extra options there. There are a lot of smaller airlines that service the islands, that service Tasmania and service King Island. You can go to King Island from Tasmania or from Melbourne. And if you're flying one of the smaller airlines, weight is very important. And so make sure that you research it to find out, first of all, if you can get one of the airlines that allows your golf bag to not be counted against your weight restriction, you're golden. That really helps. I think it was Sharp Airlines that we flew to do that. But just know, and they say this very rarely happens, but depending on the winds and that type of thing, when you're leaving King Island, sometimes your bags can get placed on standby. So if you can find an airline that lets your bags not count against the weight restriction, that really, really helps.
Well, that's a pretty great tip right there, because you don't want to be going anywhere else and have your bags kind of lag behind you waiting for the wind to change.
Yeah,
I would think.
Exactly. It was one of those things where they told us when we checked in, leaving King Island and going to Melbourne. We had one day in Melbourne. We were playing Royal Melbourne the next day, and then I was flying home. And they were like, well, it could be as much as 2 days. You know, we can't tell you until we're all done booking the plane and doing all the weight, you know, configurations and everything. And it turns out it was fine. And, you know, we've talked to some people who deal with the airlines a lot, and they said, you know, it's incredibly rare. You got to have really some significant wind issues and weight issues for that to happen. But it is a possibility. And so it's one of those things you should know about, and so that you're not surprised by it and it's not a big, crazy stress level.
All right. Something else in terms of surprise and not being surprised. Talk to us about the ozone level.
Yeah.
Tell us about your description of the ozone level, which you've told me, if you dare.
Australia sits behind, you know, because we're a family-friendly show sometimes, I will say, a giant effing hole in the ozone.
And, there you go.
You want to wear the most sunscreen you can possibly wear. I made the mistake. We got there the day we played, fresh off the plane, we went and played New South Wales, and it was kind of a misty afternoon. It was kind of drizzly. And I had put on sunscreen, and it was water resistant sunscreen, but when it's humid and drizzly, you know, you're wiping your eyes and your face and all that stuff. And eventually you wipe that stuff off. And I didn't think about it. I didn't reapply my sunscreen and just got crispy on that first day. And then of course you're fighting the sunburn the entire trip. So make sure you take the best sunscreen you can. Put it on liberally and multiple times during the round, because the sun exposure is going to be worse there than probably anywhere in the states that you'll encounter.
That's a great tip, and you know, because the seasons are opposite there. During the winter time here, it's full on summer there, and people probably don't even think about it if they're leaving during the winter here, because they're not thinking about the fact that it's going to be the opposite over there.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Talk to us a little bit about some other urban legends and things we've heard about, particularly snakes and other forms of wildlife that they might encounter over there and what they need to think about.
Well, I had done a lot. Well, I mean, first of all, let's talk about the wallabies, because if you're going to drive a rental car anywhere, especially on King Island, you know, all the rental cars come with basically a bump bar on the front of the car. They tell you when you're checking out your rental car, odds are good you're going to run into a wallaby, and I mean run into a wallaby, not just see them. You'll see them everywhere, but they're hopping around, and if you're driving late at night and you're driving too fast, they're jumping across the road. They're amazing creatures, and they're so much fun to have them on the golf course run alongside of you. We shot some great video with wallabies, and you know, you've got wallabies and kangaroos for the most part out there, but I mean you want to be extra careful when you're driving. That you're not just, you know, it's not wallaby roadkill. as a friend of ours who I met in Tasmania, who went with us on the King Island portion of the trip, you know, he called it a wallaby horror show anytime that you try to drive in the early evening when it's starting to get hard to see, and before your lights take hold. So you want to watch out for that. But one of the other things about Australia, and I had read a lot about Australia for years, about that it can be a pretty dangerous place. I mean, especially if you're going to go we didn't go to the ocean, you know, we didn't spend any time on the beach, but the, you know, the rip tides and the waves, and you've got all kinds of things out in the ocean that can kill you, you know, sharks and all other kinds of things. But the other thing is, there are a ton of snakes, they say, and that was the thing that everybody I talked to while we were there, oh, you got to be careful about the snakes. And particularly, I think it's the brown tiger snake or the black tiger snake, was one of the ones that they said, you know, we're talking about a snake that can kill you here. And so you want to watch out for them. Now, I went the entire trip and never saw a snake. And I tromped around in some high grass out at a potential new property. I've posted that since on Twitter and Instagram. I said, you know what, I think the snakes are a myth. And then I get just flooded with people with their videos of whatnot. You mean like this snake I saw in Barn Boogle the other day, or this snake I saw in King Island the other day? So, I mean, they're definitely out there. You want to be cautious of them. You don't want to go tromping through the high grass looking for your golf ball. But at the same time, the best thing I read after I got back from the trip when I was researching snakes was, you know, out here in the West, we've got rattlesnakes, and we've got probably as many deaths in the U.S. by snakes as they have in Australia. And nobody says, you know, the first thing when somebody says, oh, I'm going to the U.S., people don't say, oh, well, look out for the snakes. So, you know, have a healthy fear, know what you're doing, you know, be conscious of your surroundings when you're on the golf course, but don't go out there and fear the snakes. And the other thing is make sure you know what to do in the event of a snake bite with you and somebody else. At Cape Wickham on King Island, they actually print a phone number on the golf card so that if something happens, you can call this number immediately and, you know, and get immediate relief, because obviously you would need immediate relief if you got bit by a poisonous snake. So, you know, it's one of those things to keep in mind is the only reason I mention it.
Well, I'm thinking if it's printed on the scorecard, I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I noticed that.
That's the first thing that I would
and it was the only place. It was the only place that printed on the scorecard.
Right.
And it was one of the last rounds we played. And I thought, oh, this is kind of ingenious. Probably more places should do this. And to be honest with you, here in the desert, in the Southwest, in the U.S., we should probably do that more as well. Just so people, you know. People have a safety number to call, an emergency number to call immediately anyway, regardless of what the emergency is.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Before we leave the animal kingdom, we should mention that wallabies, for people who aren't familiar with them, they remind you of kangaroos. They're a smaller, they're in the same kind of family, but they are a smaller form of kangaroos. So if you're going there looking for big kangaroos, you might be a bit disappointed, although they're there too. But the wallabies are in that family. One thing that happens on a lot of trips to great golf destination places is that we get so wrapped up in the great golf courses we're playing that we miss some things. You have a particular regret relative to being in Australia about the cities. What is it?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind trip for us, and we jammed a lot of golf in. I mean, one day we played the day we were on King Island, we got up early, played Cape Wickham, got on a plane, flew to Melbourne, went and played Kingston Heath. And then, you know, it's late at night by that time, you know, and the sun was setting a little bit later because you mentioned it's summer their time. A couple of the guys I was with, one of the guys will be on a future show, Bill Welter, those guys still went out for the nightlife. But for me, I would plan a little bit more time into my next trip so I could spend at least a full day in each of the big cities. Sydney is an amazing city, as is Melbourne, and I would like to explore them a little more. As it was on this trip, we played so much golf and there was so much travel that I didn't have the opportunity. I was just beat and just ready to go, you know, find a bed and crash out because I knew we were playing the next morning, you know, early as well. So that's one of the things that I think we don't do enough, especially on these trips where you're flying 14 hours or whatever it was for me to get there from LA, you know, build in a couple of days, maybe even a couple non-golf days to just kind of explore and see, because there's so much to see in Australia that I didn't, I need to take another trip back just to add in a few days to explore.
Well, that sounds great. Maybe next time I'll get to share it with you, which would be fun. Let's quickly touch on, because we could spend just a podcast by itself for each of the courses that you got to play while you were there. Just touch on the courses quickly, the classic golf courses of Kingston Heath, Royal Melbourne, New South Wales.
Yeah, now, and that's the ranking I have for them in my own personal mind. Kingston Heath is just a sublime walk. It was my favorite of the classics. I got to play the routing that they played in the World Cup, which is a little different than the traditional routing there. They play it on a just one day a week for an event that they do for the membership, and I happened to be there on that day. It's very, very cool. It's a fun golf course. There are some amazingly beautiful holes, and you know, late afternoon out there on a walk, it's an easy walk. I absolutely loved it. Royal Melbourne, too, a great risk-reward golf course with some just phenomenal greens. There's a reason it's in the top 10. People love it. Our friend Shane Bacon was just there on his honeymoon, and it was his number one bucket list course for many years until he knocked it off. It's a great place and a great club, just wonderful members sitting out on the lawn, having lunch there after a morning round of golf. You know, there aren't many things that you can think are better. New South Wales is kind of an interesting McKenzie course. It has a great par three where you kind of tee off from an island. But it's, to me, it was a harder walk and a little more disjointed than maybe the other two were. And so you can't go wrong with any of those golf courses, but you know, I tell people all the time, if I had to just choose one, I'd probably choose Kingston Heath, but it would be real close between that and Royal Melbourne.
They all sound great to me, and I know a lot of people probably would feel the same way had they been there with you. Let's move on to Tasmania, the island of Tasmania, and a couple of spots that we hear so many people have heard about. Barnboogle and Lost Farm, and I can't wait to get over there. Tell us about how you felt about those two spots.
Yeah, so Barnboogle was built first. Doak and Michael Clayton built it. I mean, Tom Doak did a great job there. It is an amazing golf course. It's right on the water, but not overlooking the water. So you're always conscious that the ocean is next to you. He built some very interesting golf holes. And then they came back and they built Lost Farm later that has maybe one of the single best clubhouse restaurants anywhere in the world. I mean, the 19th hole there sitting up atop, you can see you look out onto the ocean, you look over the golf course. What they did with the elevation there of where they put the clubhouse is just extraordinary. Both places together create kind of abandoned dunes experience. I mean, that's what it is. You and I talked about it with Michael Kaiser Jr. when he was on the show. And it's an amazing complex overall to go and kind of get that abandoned dunes experience somewhere else. I don't know. In some ways, it's apples and oranges to compare it to abandoned dunes. I would never want to be put in a position to try to decide which one's better. You know, I'm an American. My preference is probably abandoned dunes. But if you're going to Tasmania and you don't go to Barnboogle and Lost Farm, then you've really missed out on the trip, because they're fun golf courses. Lost Farm was built by Bill Corr, and you know, there's a lot of greatness out there and some just phenomenally spectacular golf holes that you'll have a blast playing.
Well, to me, unless you're a bird watcher or a hiker and you don't play golf, if you go to Tasmania and don't go to Barnboogle Lost Farm, there's something seriously wrong with you. That would be, it's not like it's going around the corner.
Right.
You got to get there.
Yeah. And most golfers are planning a trip. If they're going to Tasmania, they're planning a trip to Tasmania. That's the cornerstone of what they're doing. And right, it's well worth it, man. We had some great food. We had, like I said, the views are extraordinary, especially from Lost Farm. It's got cool, comfortable lodging. It's well done. It's a well done property and it's a fun place to be. And, you know, we were just there for a night. I wish, you know, if I went back, I would stay two or three nights and really get even more of an experience.
All right. Let's talk about something on the emergency nine that you did, that we did. your new emergency nine would have a different course under the heading of places you wish everyone knew about, a course that you wish everyone knew about. And the reason for it is Ratho Farm. And I know you were over the moon over that experience. Tell us about that.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we've talked about places on that question on the emergency nine. You know, there are cool, quirky places in Nebraska. You and I are talking about Tain and Brora in Scotland all the time. And Ratho Farm kind of feels like Brora in a way. They've been playing golf there since 1822. It's, you know, the Ratho Golf Club, or I guess it's the Bothell Golf Club that plays the half of the golf course that is original, square greens, just an old school course, and being out there with the hickories was just so much fun, so cool. But the Greg Ramsey, who I mentioned earlier, it's his family farm. It's a working farm. You've got buildings that date, you know, back to that time as well. And they've converted a lot of the old buildings, including the lodging where the convicts lived when they were building some of the other things on the farm way back in the 1800s, into lodging that now you can use when you stay on the property. So it is this quirky, cool, unique golf resort. They've built four new golf holes on the back nine, but it is as quirky, cool as you're going to find any golf course. You hit the 18th hole, the third shot, it's a par five, the third shot, you literally play it over a hedge, or you have to hit it through the little gate hole in the hedge to get to the green. So, I mean, there's no running the ball up unless you can run it through a doorway. Otherwise, you've got to flip it up over this hedge. And I didn't know what I would think about it. And I played the golf course four or five times because we were there for a couple of days and there was, you know, obviously not a lot of people out there. Hole number one literally has an antique brick outhouse on the number one tee. And like literally if you pull hooked one, you know, from the back tees, you might hit the brick outhouse. That hole is also a par three that is played over a bullpen, and I mean a literal bullpen with bulls in it grazing and a big long fence, and all you see is the flag beyond the bullpen out there waving in the distance, and you just trust it and trust your yardage and hit one. And there's a ton of room out there to miss once you get out there, as long as you don't hit it into the bulls. And so to me, it was so much fun, and it was so different and so creative, and you know that I love that kind of stuff anyway, that I would tell anybody, go to Ratho, and don't expect this high-end, crazy, you know, golf resort experience that we get other places. Go for the funkiness. Go for the cool. They make great food there. They're incredibly friendly. It's all run out of an old house, the basically the house that was on the property from way back when. You know, you can stay in the house, you can stay out in the other buildings, and it's great. It's so different. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it in some ways to people.
Well, you just have. And it was great. I mean, that's the thing. You know, all these kind of places are so fantastic. And most of them, it's very difficult to put into the kind of words as opposed to just the experience of being there. So hopefully that'll, I know it's gotten me interested and I really want to see it. Are there any other courses? You mentioned before Armand and a new project there. You want to just share with us a little bit about that one before we go to King Island?
Yeah. So, Greg, so first of all, in Tasmania, there are a lot of other golf courses. There's Tasmania Golf Club. There are a couple others that we kind of took a glimpse at. And anywhere you go, it seems like the golf courses have crazy, beautiful ocean views. And unlike any place I've really ever been in that regard, where even on Hawaii, I guess, maybe that would be the closest to think about, but it was like all these golf courses, even the average, your average run-of-the-mill golf course is on the water and just has beautiful views. And now Greg Ramsey has kind of, he's acquiring this piece of property at a place called Armand outside Hobart. And it is kind of a peninsula that sticks out into the water. It's got golf views on, or water views on three sides. And he's going to build Lynx Golf out there, and it just looks fantastic. And I can't wait to see what kind of a golf course they build out there. An 18-hole golf course out there in the summertime will just be, I think, extraordinary. It'll be like playing one of the abandoned courses, but with even better views and better weather.
Sounds fantastic. We'll look for Ormond as it comes up. And finally, talk to us about King Island. A couple of great spots there. And I know you love being there.
Oh, King Island. Well, I love the island experience anywhere I go. King Island is basically a farming island. It's got a small airport that you go into. I think there are like 1,500 people on the entire island. To give you a sense of that, you know, we talk about Pacific Gales a lot on the project, on the show here, that we're going to build a golf course up at Pacific Gales in Port Orford. The town of Port Orford has 1,500 people, and we think, oh, well, that's really small. King Island has 1,500 people on the entire island. So, you know, you can drive it pretty easily in one day, and you've got Ocean Dunes and Cape Wickham, which were both built roughly at the same time. Ocean Dunes, just a spectacular stretch of rocky coast that they built some really fun golf holes on, and then it moves back into the hills, and then it comes back out to the water. It's definitely a place, if you're going to King Island, you're going to play Ocean Dunes. But Cape Wickham is really the all-star. And, you know, I believe it was up for sale, and I heard a rumor that it has sold to a new hotelier who I think will make it even better, the entire resort experience. But it's kind of a tiered setting. I attribute it. It's a little bit like King's Barns, and how King's Barns is built in kind of that stacked way on the side of overlooking the water. Cape Wickham has a lighthouse. I mean, the morning we played early. We woke up in our lodging, looked out on the back deck. You know, you get to see the sunset making the lighthouse glow. Incredible fun holes, incredible views. And it's a place that's only getting started. I think in another 5 years, you know, Cape Wickham is going to really become a refined golf experience that everybody wants to play. And you know, right now you talk about it, and everybody almost wants to play it already.
Well, we certainly knew that before you were lucky enough to get a chance to go. And again, hopefully the ones of us who haven't been there will get a chance someday. It's a bucket list place, certainly for me, and I know for a lot of other people, and I know you're also grateful for the chance of having to go over there and to share all of it with us. This has been cool. I'm sure we'll talk to you about it again. We have a couple of great podcasts coming up with some other people who've been, and we can't wait to hear from them out there. Thanks to you, the listeners. Couldn't do it without us, without you. Hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence, or use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, hashtag Two Haggis Bags, and you'll get our attention.
Yep. And if you're enjoying Talking Golf Getaways, and we hope you are, don't hesitate to share us on your social media. Rate us on iTunes. That is crucial. That will really help us out and just help us spread the word about the best in golf travel.
Okay, man. Thanks, Darren. Great talking to you as always. Love Australia, Tasmania, and King Island. And again, hope you all keep listening. We got a lot more great podcasts coming your way. Tom Petty, Australia, Tasmania, King Island's a dream for many of us. All those of you out there, keep running down the dream. Tom Petty's going to tell you how. Take it away.